from my perspective at least, what leadership means to me is it doesn't matter what position or title or what fancy letters or numbers you have after your name. All leadership is, in its basic sense, is the ability and the power you have to influence or impact another person or another thing. So just think about that for a second. It's as simple as that. What power, what influence do you have on another person? So I know we have a lot of our executive board members from our clubs and organizations, which is incredible, and we thank you so much for the work you're doing. But if you're not there yet, if you're not at that level, don't let that deter you from being a leader, because that's not what leadership's about. Leadership is, it's just as simple as how you can make someone else feel and what you can make and inspire and empower them to do. So we have a lot of incredible speakers and presenters today. So throughout the day, think about what that means and what leadership means to you, because everyone has their own definition. So now I want to introduce a very special person, someone who's a huge, huge supporter of Caldwell, of student government, and of all of our clubs and organizations. And to many of us, she was the first person who was our first real friend at Caldwell. So Sister Kathleen DeSue, the Vice President of Student Life.
Chiang had a napkin that he wrote a few things on. I have that. Okay, now look at that. Look at the difference, right? I'm not going to do all that. Don't worry. They're just a few notes. It really is a privilege to be here. I'm very excited. I'm grateful you all showed up here today. I know at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning can be difficult. I have to be honest. It's a little difficult for me today. Any of you go on the ski trip yesterday? Okay. Are you hurting at all? Okay, a few. Tim is really hurting back there, just so you know. I don't know where Marissa went, but she said this. Here she is. Are you hurting?
Yes, I'm hurting.
She's hurting, too. All right, so that was awesome. Anybody go to the ball game last night? Okay, right? A few of us were there. We screamed our lungs out, right? We cheered hard. Our Lady Cougars, although they did not win, they did us proud this season. Did they not? They did us proud. As did our gentlemen. We need to remember that too. They made it to the semifinal of the CACC, and they're a very young team, and they're going places too. So both to those two ladies and our men Cougars, thank you for a great season. And we have a lot more coming up, don't we? We have baseball going on. We got our bowling. Anybody here in bowling? Bowling is, did they win? Are you still playing? I just think that's so exciting. I love to watch bowling. I really do. I used to bowl, and I got injured. It hurt. Well, listen, I'm going to pick up on what Chiang said, okay? He said something, and listen to this statement. Before you become a leader, success is all about growing yourself. That's before you become a leader. After you become a leader, success is about growing others. So before you become a leader, success is about growing yourself. After you become a leader, success is about growing others, influencing others, as Chiang said. That is leadership. How do we choose to use our influence? All of you are heads of clubs or members of clubs. You've all taken initiative to be a part of something, haven't you? You could say yes. You can speak out loud. Like, it helps me. Just, like, tell me you're listening. So you've all taken that initiative to be a part of something. And then today you show up here. That says to me, you are in the process of growing yourself. That's what today is about, growing yourself. But you're also in the place and in a position to grow others. You need to remember that. That's the gift of leadership. And it gets difficult. I have many a pity party. Not going to lie to you. Anybody else ever have a pity party? Thank you for your honesty. Come on. Anybody else? Do you know what a pity party is? Feeling sorry for yourself. You know, in those moments, and like you sort of have to slap yourself out of it. Anybody ever have to do that? Raise your hand, please. I should see everyone's hand. Because that's human life. Okay? That's real. Right? So that's what leadership, and that's what you're doing today. You're growing yourself in order to grow others. And that's a great understanding of our mission here at Caldwell University. There's a person named Andy Rooney. Anybody ever hear of Andy Rooney? Because you're very young.
Yeah.
I know you have, Fox. Thank you.
I'm not old.
No, I know you. Well, you're maybe just 4 years older than these people.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, that's it. Okay. But anybody out here ever hear of a person named Andy Rooney? Okay, he was somebody who was on 60 Minutes, it's a show on CBS. He always had this little monologue at the end of 60 Minutes periodically on the show. And he was an interesting kind of guy. I always enjoyed him. Well, he had some things to say about leadership and the wisdom he learned about leadership. And I'm just going to read a few quotes to you, okay? And I can see him. If you don't know him, Google him sometime, okay? Just watch him on YouTube for yourself. Just get some inspiration. But he would say something like this. I've learned that the best classroom in the world is at the feet of elderly people. And he said that because of wisdom they've lived in life. I've learned that just one person saying to me, you've made my day, makes my day. Did you ever have that? Did somebody ever say to you something that's made your day? I just had it happen. That nice young man, wherever he went, Brian.
He's over here.
He's over here now. He just said something so nice to me and it made my day. Thank you, Brian. And he also said, I learned that being kind is more important than being right. That's a great learning. Sometimes I really only want to just be right. I was that way with my mother yesterday. I have to go apologize to her today. I was a pain in the butt to my mom. Did you ever do that? Because I don't need to be right. I need to be kind. That's the real message. I've learned that I can always pray for someone when I don't have the strength to help him or her in any way, in any other way. If I can't do anything, I can pray. Sometimes we can't do anything. We really can't do anything sometimes. But what we can do is pray. And sometimes our human nature takes over, like we have to fix it, we have to make them feel better, we have to do this. No, they have to do it. So your role is to be in presence and pray. He also says that I've learned that no matter how serious your life requires you to be, everyone needs a friend to act goofy with. Right? Do you have friends that you can act goofy with? I hope so. Are you a friend that people can act goofy with?
I hope so.
Good. Make sure it's like ethical and moral. So I'm going to ask just to keep it on that level. But please, have fun, friends like that. I do. I do that with the people I work with, my colleagues. You can ask Tim and Marissa. Sometimes I think there might be something a little wrong with me. Right, Tim? Right, Marissa? Just a little off. My family's going to write a book about me that says, Aunt Kath is okay. But no, we all laugh. We need to laugh. He says, I've learned that money doesn't buy class. Money doesn't buy class. So if you're looking for money, which you have a right to look for, to succeed in life, just remember there's a lot more to it. Okay? I've learned that to ignore the facts does not change the facts. That's real. I've learned that love, not time, heals all wounds. It takes time sometimes to develop and nurture love. I'm a sister. I'm a nun. I prayed the scriptures this morning, and the scripture today talks about that. It's a grace to learn and love others, even when they really get under your skin or they really just, you really struggle with them. It's a grace. So remember that one. And then I've learned that one should keep their mouth both soft and tender, because tomorrow you might have to eat them. Like I said, I have to do that today with my mom. I have to eat my words. And then I've learned the less time I have to work with, the more things I get done. Now, Andy Rooney's speaking that way from his life lived. But in your experience, you have a life ahead of you. But remember that the more time, the less time you have to work with, the more you get done. Not that I'm promoting procrastination or anything like that, okay? But that, just sort of take that as a wisdom of life as you go through life. What I would be, that was Andy Rooney's wisdom, I would be remiss if I didn't put it in the context of Scripture, because that's just who I am. So Jesus calls us, God calls us, whoever your higher power is, calls us to serve each other. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be servant leaders. We're called to give our gifts and our times. The servant is the person who knows their own spiritual poverty. They exercise power under God's control. They maintain right relationships. They make peace when possible. They endure unmerited criticism. That will happen. And if you are a follower of Jesus, or at least you know the story, you know that person endured unmerited criticism to death. Any leader will experience that, because people don't know all the truths and facts of things. Okay? That person, though, will endure all that, but they will endure it with integrity. And then Jesus, he set the pattern in his own actions and on behalf of others. And we are called to follow that example. So I know that was a long welcome, but I needed to put all of that in there, because today you are here representing Caldwell University. You're giving your time. That says a world to me. It says it all to me. You're willing to really learn to grow, to be leaders, so that you can grow others. And I really thank you for that, because you make a difference here at Caldwell University. You guys bring about a spirit, a soul, and you give expression to our mission. So I'm very grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And I just have to say one other thing. I talked to Dr. Blattner today. You know this. This is where she'd like to be, right? You know that? She's in Washington, D.C. on your behalf, but she'd rather be here. She told me that. Okay, so thank you. These are words of, you know, welcome from her also. So thank you, good luck, and enjoy this gentleman. His name is Fox, that's all I'm going to say, because I'm not going to let the introduction be deterred by me. And he sounds really awesome. So thanks, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you.
Volleyball practice. I remember it specifically because we were running suicides and he was chasing us and throwing volleyballs at us to try to knock us off. Yes, you were. I also remember that he had the most incredible laugh. He became my JV volleyball coach, and I have to say he taught me so much about what it means to be on the team. The most important thing being it didn't matter if you won every game or if you lost every game. He wanted us to build the bonds, build the friendships, and of course, always have fun. And we definitely had fun. I'm going to share a really funny story that's between us and another one of my friends. It was before a game. We are passing a ball, my friend and I, and I hit the ball too far, and she was running backwards. She ran right into a garbage can, We were on the floor dying, laughing hysterically. He thought we were all injured before the game, and he's having a panic attack saying, "All my players are hurt, who's going to play?" And he found that we were fine. And then the next day at practice, my friend was running the, you have to do like laps. And who was right next to her with the garbage can saying, "Don't fall, don't fall, don't fall." Yeah, so he's a lot of fun. So freshman year of high school till now, so it's 8 years of friendships, and I have gotten to know Profe on a more personal level through his life outside the classroom, and he definitely has a very inspiring story that I think all of you are going to really enjoy, and I hope if you get anything from today, it's to look at life a little differently and maybe a little bit more like Fox. So could you all help me welcome Fox Byer to be your keynote speaker?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The story Abby just told was totally true. I want to say it's fabricated, but it's not. I only do it because, as you can see, I have a little hitch in my get-along, and I have tripped more than any human being has ever tripped in their lives. I can recall when I was in college, okay, I went to a place just like this to have some good lunch, and I pulled my hamstring while I sat down. And so for a while, I couldn't really go upstairs very well. So anytime anybody has a little accident, I kind of use humor to let them know, I've been in your position before. I have. So, yes, my name's Fox. Spell it F-O-X, right? Simple name, three letters. But over time, I've had some very interesting interpretations of my name. Very interesting. In the year 2000, I coached a baseball team in Eatonton, North Carolina. And my friend and I, Stuart and I, was the head coach. We lived in a house with a great house mom named Mama Ruth. And before games, I would go to a little inlet and read. And this particular day, Stuart got home, and I wasn't there, and Ruth was there. And he asked Ruth, "Where is he?" She said, "Frog is at the beach." She called me Frog. My name's Fox. F-O-X. And I didn't know until about a month ago that she actually meant that. She didn't just have a slip. She actually thought my name was Frog. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Fox, F-O-X. There are times when I order food, if it's Chinese food, if it's pizza, whatever it is, call over the phone. "What name, sir?" Fox, F-O-X, like the animal. I have to say my name, spell it, and define it. Fox, F-O-X, like the animal. Just like that. Pretty clear, right? Pretty clear. So I order pizza one night, and I get it back, and on the box, it has this word written on it. F-O-C-K-S. I bought an airplane ticket one time. I couldn't get on a plane because the first name was spelled S-O-X and not F-O-X. It did not match my ID. That really does suck. So here I am. And go along this ride with me. It's called Scars. Are you ready? I'm a dude, a guy, a man with a hitch in his get-along, and some kids call Profe, some kids call, people call Fox, and some call Frog, and some call F-O-C-K-S. So here we go. It's 6 a.m., and the alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. While I am very glad for this gift from my Somerset Patriot family, I know its alarm clock is not its primary use, so I want to punch it. With a raise of hands, who has punched their alarm clock before? Did you win?
No.
Yes.
Always. It breaks, you can go back to sleep. Right? But this time, I didn't punch it. I hit snooze twice in the next 10 minutes. Who hit snooze this morning?
Half an hour.
Who cannot remember the last time they did not hit snooze? Who hits it at least three times? That's me. But then after a while, I could hear Coach Tanner's voice in my head. He says, boy, off your butt and on your feet. Got to get up so we can eat. And I oblige. I begin to put my right foot on the ground. And as I do this, I can see a scar on my right hip. It is product of a 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy surgery, in which in both hips, the surgeon inserted metal rods in my hips, breaking both my hips, turning the bones out, all in the effort that I walk less not need. I put my left foot on the ground. What's the first thing that happens? My knees kiss together. I look down and I say, boy, you both are really good friends. Captive of my body, this thing has got me. Sitting here in this chair, so begins the unfair. Thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. I begin to walk to the bathroom to shower. I pick my feet up, just high up above the ground so I don't trip and fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time it's 2 days post-hip osteotomy surgery. Both hips are broken. They're not casted yet. They're in a bandage. My surgeon walks into the room and says, Fox, it's time to put a weight on your feet. With my dad holding me from behind, I take my first steps post-surgery. And while it's very hard to describe the amount of pain that came with each step, it's impossible to describe the euphoria of walking again. I get in the shower. I climb into it. I hold on to things because, as you know, I've had many tumbles in my life, and I want to keep my teeth. I bathe. I see all my scars, each one carrying with it a memory. Heel cord extension, hip osteotomy, hamstring transfer, testicle removal, chest tube. I towel off, and I climb out of the shower, once again holding on to things more than gently because I've had a lot of tumbles in my life, and I want to keep my teeth. I groom myself. And the last thing that I do is I put contact lenses into my eyes. And when I do this, I am reminded that I cannot focus on a single object with both eyes at the same time. Product of being cross-eyed at birth. A surgeon who is now in jail for malpractice. And an accident in between. What's your name? Fujang? How do you spell that? Foujan. It's not frog, right? Okay, it's not frog. Good, good. Fujang, question. Which eye is focused on you right now? Which one is that one? Left or right? The right eye. What about now, Fujian? What about now? What about now? I can see you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand over there. What's your name? Megan. I can see Megan and Fujian right now. I step back from the mirror. It's 6:30 in the a.m. and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror. He looks back at me and says, have you done all you can do? And are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given? As would say, decent son, do you realize responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. And no matter there are no cameras, that you are alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world. With me, the mirror, I always see the truth. Can we give that up for Fujian, please? Give it up, please. Give it up. First one on the spot, heart rate went from 39 to about 189 in 2 seconds. Fujian, do you want some candy to raise your heart rate even more? I walk out of the shower to my bedroom to get dressed. I pick my feet up, just high up above the ground, not to trip and fall flat on my face. And again, each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's 2 days post-hamstring transfer surgery in 1990. My surgeon walks into the room. He's dressed in plaid from head to toe, and he's doing all these weird coordination exercises, like tapping his head, rubbing his stomach. Everybody do that. Tap your head, rub your stomach. What's your name?
Jacob.
One more time?
Jacob.
Jacob, tap your head, rub your stomach. Repeat after me. While you're doing it, how much chuck at a woodchuck, chuck at a woodchuck, catch up wood? One more time.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck in a woodchuck?
Dude! Give it up! Do you read? Are you a reader?
No.
See you, dude!
No.
He's honest. Do you like candy?
Sure.
What kind of candy?
Mostly chocolate.
Mostly chocolate? I got plenty of chocolate here.
Three
Musketeers? Sure.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Clap again. Let's clap again. Clap again. We're moving around. Again, I pick my feet up, just high enough up off the ground, let the trip and fall flat on my face. I sit down to get dressed. As a general rule, this takes me 4 times as long as it does for the average bear. No big deal. The hardest part, Shazam, is putting on and tying my shoes. You don't have to tie those. I do it with my left foot with a few problems. My right foot, that's really freaking hard. As I do this, I see my neighbor in my parking lot bend down and tie his shoe in 2 seconds flat. I look to my left and I can picture my mother telling me as a 6-year-old, Fox, you have CP, that's it, get over it. Blunt to the point, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people in this world that have been harder than me for millions of reasons. Take Andre, for instance. As my roommate in rehab, at 21 years old, Andre was given a motorcycle for his birthday. He took it out for a spin with no helmet on. It spun out of control, and the first thing he hit was his head. So Andre stood in front of me in those days without any access to his long-term or short-term memory and was prone to very violent and profane mood swings, most of them directed toward his own mother. So one day he'd walk in and say, and be all lovey-dovey to his mother, kissing on her, hugging on her the entire day. The very next day, he'd point to me and point to her and say, who's that B-I-T-C-H trying to enter the room? It was Jerry, 16 years old, while living in Manhattan. In the middle of the day, Jerry got on his bike to get groceries for his mother. And on the way there, he was hit by a drunk cab driver. Like Andre, Jerry lost access to his long-term and short-term memory. He was prone to violent and profane mood swings, most of them, again, directed toward his own mother. So yeah, I think I could tie my shoe. I do this. I stand up straight. I look right at the wall. And I think of how many times during this day the perception of me is going to get mixed up with the actual reality. I think back to the 7th grade. We're running around the gym track in gym class. We're back in the locker room. We're timed in doing so. And a classmate is going around comparing his times with ours. He gets to me, I begin to say my time. And he says, Fox, you don't count. In this moment, I say, don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I am defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like, and nicknamed Scarecrow. Inside, what a lot do not know.
I have been broken and welded so many times. I can't tell you this no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover. I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled. My body wants to go fetal because in my life, I have seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do for fun. Carefully, because every step can lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes. Specs for years, they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync. No matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I walk into the kitchen to have breakfast. Next question. What is my favorite cereal? I'm going to go over here. Your name is?
Priyanka.
My favorite cereal is?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Not enough sugar.
Special kid.
But great guess. Let's go gender equity here. Let's go. Your name is Ben.
Yes. Lucky Charms.
I'm not a big marshmallow guy. I'm really not, but thanks, Ben. I love this cereal so much that most mornings I put it on top of cottage cheese. Who likes cottage cheese? Who thinks I'm nuts? You're right. Any other guesses?
Fruity Pebbles.
You know what happens with those? They, I'll go over here. They get really soggy too fast. I love CTC. I do. I don't like chocolate in the morning. I'm just yelling him out right here. This has gone out of control. But I have not heard it yet. I'm going to go over here to you. Your name is?
Sylvia.
Now, you've heard them all. You've heard CTC. You've heard Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes, Fruity Pebbles. They're all wrong. What is my favorite cereal?
Loops.
It's one of my nicknames. She said Fruit Loops. I'm going to go over here. I don't like chocolate in the morning. It's just too much. Keep in mind, Olivia called me crazy. Over here. So, Olivia, you're right, by the way. My favorite cereal is?
Rice Krispies.
With a lot of sugar and a lot of bananas. So, not quite. You're missing one. This guy's been around. Scott.
Pops.
Ooh. Pops. Close. Very close.
Kicks.
Abby.
Is it Captain Crunch?
Yes. It's indeed Captain Crunch. But Olivia. I'm doing this because you're very close.
Yes.
Okay. And Abby does indeed have a copy of my book. Do you like to read?
Yes.
Do you like to read poetry?
Yes.
Do you like to read my poetry?
I would love to.
Who's the best poet in the world? Too many questions. Give it up for Olivia. Give it up. Very happy, right? Sign. You're welcome. Olivia, just wait about a week before you put it on eBay, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. I walk out my door to get into my car, and the first thing I have to do is I have to go down a flight of stairs. CP does not make this easy. I hate stairs. You do? Okay. Let's put a grant in for escalators all around Caldwell University.
So
Sister Catherine? Tim, can you make that happen? Tomorrow. Dude. I mean, you are pretty Jeff, but I don't know if you could do that. And your skiing accident as well. I'm really not sure. Tuesday. nor'easter. But hey, if you can do it, I'll bring lunch. Got it. Again, CP does not make going downstairs easy. But again, I can't help but think about the millions of people who have it harder than I do that can't get down these stairs. Take Reggie, for instance. He was my roommate in 1990 after my hamstring transfer surgery. At 14 years old, Reggie stole a car. He drove it into a telephone pole. He's paralyzed from the waist down. There was Michael. At 15 years old, Michael walked into his parents' bedroom and said, "Mom and Dad, I have a headache." Michael passed out. Michael had a brain aneurysm. So Michael lied in front of me in a coma, in a diaper, unable to think, unable to move. So yeah, I'd get down these stairs. I hold on the rails to keep from flying. Man, you know I ain't lying. Sometimes I laugh to keep from crying. Hips entangled, legs entangled, feet so entangled. I get into my car. I back out and begin to drive to my place of work. Somewhere along the line, make a left-hand turn. And when I do this, a baseball rolls out of a glove I have in my trunk and begins to bounce around. I think about all the places that little white ball has taken me. Thousands of hours of playing baseball in the backyard with my siblings and my friends. Thousands of hours throwing a baseball off a school, in a park, on a beach, on a street somewhere. Over 100 innings pitched in high school. Somehow, in some way, my left arm and that little white ball got me to Yankee Stadium, where in 1997, I threw out the ceremonial first pitch of the game. Somehow, in some way, that little white ball and my left arm got me to the University of South Carolina, where I was a student coach. And in 2000 and 2002, we were SEC champions. In 2002, we appeared in the College World Series. Present day, that little white ball in my arm has gotten me to the Somerset Patriots as the bench coach, where in 2008, 9, and 15, we're Atlantic League champions. I am so glad that throwing a baseball has nothing to do with how quickly I get dressed, because I suck. Good evening, arena sold out with doubters. I stand before you completely empowered. I am so excited to hear the volume of deafening silence coming from this room. You have the bat and I have the ball. Double or nothing new once and for all. This battle, it wasn't close. You thought me a loser and you misdiagnosed. I pwned the parking lot of my place of work. My mind drifts off. I'm sitting on a beach, and I have to get up. Without shouting it out, why would I have to get up while sitting on a beach? I'm going to pick on this side. Question is again, why would I have to get up while I'm sitting on a beach? Jennifer.
Do you have to go somewhere?
You bet I do. Where is that place? I don't want to go home. The beach is my home. Where would I go? More guess.
Something to do with baseball.
Something to do with baseball. I'm tired. We played 12, 15 games in a row, and the last thing I want to see right now is a baseball field. I really want to see my eyelids, but I have to get up. Why would I have to get up? Pedro. Yes, I have to go pee. Pedro, I have two choices. I look behind me. Bathrooms, quarter mile away. I look in front of me. I want to say I look past the smoking hot blonde. Anyway. I look in front of me, and I see the ocean just feet within my grasp. I stand up, my knees kiss together, and I say to myself, well, the whole world's a bathroom. Now, come on. Raise your hand if you have peed in a pool or the ocean before. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Dude, there are about, how many in this room? About 60 and about 20 of you? Raise your hand. Who's lying right now? I'm saying in your entire life, not yesterday, okay? Okay, yesterday Tim was, he was skiing, okay? It's cold, okay? I know he didn't, or anybody else didn't do it yesterday, but who in your life, you have peed in a public pool, your own pool, or the ocean? Raise your hand. Thank you. I pull in my parking space. I get out of my car. Right leg first, then left. Each step carries with it a memory. Could you please, everyone, very loud, say the word step between each line of this poem? Are you ready? I can't hear you.
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
Let's practice. Say the word step. 3, 2, 1.
Step.
Louder.
Step.
You're idle no more.
Step.
Pick yourself up off the floor.
Step.
Get up out of your seat.
Step.
You will not lie there in defeat.
Step.
In mind and body, a winning tranquility.
Step.
Without movement, there is no possibility.
Step.
Each pace equals a seed.
Step.
And the world's largest sequoia tree.
Step.
One by one, they'll amass.
Step.
Chlorophyll passes down victory path.
Step.
Give yourself a hand. Very Pavlovian. Pavlov. Anybody here named Pavlov? That'd be crazy. I approach the entrance of the school building, and I can see myself in the door's reflection. And I am amazed that no matter how old I get, I am a man, 5'8" tall, and I have never bought a pair of pants that actually fit me. I open the door for a couple of female colleagues, and I am amazed at the amount of bags they are carrying. You see, for me, walking without anything is a conscious act of will, and the less I own, the more worry-free I am. Question. Your name is?
Shania.
Shania. How many bags do you carry to class?
Just one.
Just one. Raise your hand if you carry more than one bag to class. Okay. Class, female classroom teachers, I think the minimum amount they carry to school in terms of bags is 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's utterly ridiculous, is it not? I mean, what do they have in there? My lunch? I enter the school building, and negative aspects of my high school experience ring in my head. I hear things like crippled creep, but you don't look like a senior. I see so many kids trying to be cool, and I know in that moment that regardless of what content I am ordered to teach, my main job is to make my students realize that from the moment they were conceived, they were designed to be different. So why on earth would you act like somebody you're not? Are you trying to stand out? Are you sure your twin is out there? No doubt. They wear what you wear and they do what you do. Your carbon copy, nothing new. But let me ask you this. Do they have your tone, your heartbeat, your mission? Remember, it's impossible to measure what lies within. With so many similar variables, remember how you were made. Have no fear. Your individuality is saved. I approach the auditorium and I look in it. It was a place where in the 7th grade, I fell chasing a girl I had a crush on. I look at my hands. I think of my therapists, Kathy, Debbie, Jose, Mrs. Schumler. They were geniuses. They knew me. They knew, as a kid growing up with CP, I was going to fall every single day of my life. But guess what? 99.9% of my falls were forward. So they had me practice falling and getting my hands out before I hit the ground. My hands have been there. In 1997, when I threw up a ceremonial first pitch to a New York Yankees game, I fell on the top step of the dugout. In 2002, during the player introductions of the College World Series, I again fell on the top step of the dugout. My hands were there. Look at your hands. I look at my hands, and I realize that my life has not been about not trying to fall every day. It's been about always trying to get back up. And that my life, and your life, is less about pain and more about beauty. Thank you.